take back the power, 'cause it's ours to discern where the water will flow. Open the window.
You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening to you. You're listening to Co-op Radio Station 102.7 FM. This is Conscious Living Radio. And tonight, your hosts are Andrew Resmer and
Linda Christensen.
And I can't hear you, Linda. Let me try that again.
All right. Now there we go. Yes, indeed. That's me, Linda Christensen here.
And can you please introduce our first guest?
Yes, our first guest here is Meredith Deasley. She's a registered nutritional consulting practitioner and specializes in pediatric nutrition. And she has recently finished a book called The Resourceful Mother's Secret to Healthy Kids. And I understand, Meredith, you are here with us, having done quite a bit of extensive research into food sensitivities and allergies, and it sounds as though you had some personal experience here with the effect of some of these things on your own child. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It was back in 1999 that I gave birth to my daughter, Taylor. She experienced colic, projectile vomiting, constipation, rashes all over her body, and eventually ended up in so much pain with constipation that we didn't leave our house for the better part of 6 months.
You're kidding.
It was a bad situation.
Wow. No, that's amazing. And so I'm sure there was a lot of frustration here in terms of going to the doctors and trying to find out what the problem would have been and trying to get some kind of diagnosis here.
Mm-hmm. I went to numerous doctors and clinics. I went to family doctors as well as pediatricians, and the answers were always the same. It was to give her laxatives, try enemas, and to explore giving her different formulas, but that was usually they would just say, she'll outgrow it. Give it time. This is common with children. She'll outgrow it.
Uh-huh. And so how long did this go on for?
It went on until she was two. And by the time she was two, I had figured out all of the culprits, and she was on her way to recovery.
Wow. Really? And tell us, how did you go about finding out what the problem was?
I started going to health food stores and talking to different employees that worked at the health food stores and just started asking them, are there any supplements I can give for constipation? Is there anything I can be doing with diet? And eventually I came across a book by a medical doctor that had turned natural, who was Dr. Zoltan Rona. And his book helped me understand a lot about what's going on with the children of today and really inspired me to learn a lot more about it all.
Okay. And so then I gather this is then ultimately what led you to write this book is
That's
your own
right.
personal experience here and the frustration and trying to make a resource available to other parents to guide them in this whole journey of trying to figure out what the problem is.
Yes, because I knew that if we were suffering this much as a family,
yeah.
there must be other people out there suffering.
Oh.
And I remember starting to think, you know, maybe I should start helping others. And a woman came to my house who was sort of an expert in children, not in nutrition, but in children. And I said, you know, I'm thinking I might start a business in this eventually. And she said, why don't you start now? And I said, I don't know enough yet. And she said, what you do know needs to get out there. And so I started it very quickly after she had said that. And that was before I was even a nutritionist.
Oh, so this was even before you became a nutritionist. Oh.
Yeah.
And is this then what led you to become one then? Is this whole journey?
Mm-hmm. I was trying to help a family whose son was autistic. Mm. And I was talking about possibly working with diet to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And they got really angry and said, you're not a doctor. You're not a nutritionist. Why should we believe anything you say? And that's when I thought, oh, I think I better become official.
Wow.
And I literally joined up for nutrition school within a few days of that conversation.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And so what is basically your conclusion then? I mean, from your subtitle here, it says, understand food, understand your child. So the impression I get is that a lot of our diet is a huge factor in a lot of ailments physically and perhaps even more, would you say, emotionally and mentally as well?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we just went through Easter and we see how the children react to chocolate? And we all seem to be aware of that one. We know that if they have too much chocolate all at once, they go crazy.
Hmm.
And we all seem to know that, yet we don't realize how other foods are impacting us. And sometimes a food impacts a child that doesn't impact another child, and that's what makes it tricky.
Uh-huh.
But literally, food can be behind or worsen every symptom and condition.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Because, I mean, that obviously is the case, is that some children don't react the way, as opposed to others who do.
Mm-hmm.
That there isn't this sort of consistency. So what do you think, okay, so what would be some of your let's maybe backtrack here. What are some of the problems that you think diet can trigger in a child?
Okay, so in the book, there are numerous, probably 3 pages of symptoms or conditions that can be caused by food or worsened by food.
Mm-hmm.
But just to give some examples, colic, eczema, asthma, constipation, autism, attention deficit disorder, overweight children, children with behavioral challenges. Those are just some common examples of areas that food can contribute to.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure that you'd probably get into some debates with people regarding ADD and autism.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And all I say is, let's try these changes in the diet, take out some of the common allergens, and see if it makes a difference. With a child, they're very responsive. If a dietary change is going to make a difference for them, it will happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually set a time limit as to how long we'll be watching the child to see if their symptoms improve.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that way I say, you don't need to take my word for it. Just try it and see if it works.
Uh-huh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And so, because, you know, in recent years, there's been, especially in terms of autism, there's been quite a dramatic increase in children becoming autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those who say it's a result of the vaccinations that are going on. You know, others will say, well, this is maybe more behavioral in terms of, I don't know what they're all saying out there, but,
yeah,
you know, like the video games and things like that. But so what is your take on autism?
Well, I'd first like to just address the discussions about vaccinations and autism.
Okay.
I do teach pediatric nutrition at the Canadian School of Nutrition, and a big part of that course is how vaccinations affect children.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that is going on now is that there are a number of shots given at any one time and in combination with each other. And that has actually never been tested long-term to see how the vaccinations are interacting with one another. However, it is never just one set of vaccinations that gives a child autism. What happens is a child's going along and they're handling everything in their environment.
Yeah.
They're getting, you know, their certain processed foods they're eating, maybe they have a few drugs because they have a cold. They're handling it all. And then they get to that, say, 18-month vaccination,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly the child displays autistic behavior. Mm-hmm. And they say, oh, it was the shot. But really what happens is the shot, because of the heavy metals and other preservatives that are in those shots and the combination of them, it can take the child past their toxic load.
Right.
Everybody has a certain toxic load that they come in with. It mm-hmm. grows gradually, and then something can just say, you know, take them right past it, and the child's body says, no, I'm not handling this anymore.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, you know, I don't have that kind of background, but just from what I see, what's expected in giving a child in terms of shots in those early years compared to what I went through when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, talk about a massive bombardment.
Absolutely.
It's almost as though we're going overboard to come up with a vaccination for anything and everything and just load them up at such an early age, where it really, you wonder, you know, you'd be surprised if there isn't any kind of reaction and an
exactly.
overstress to the system.
And the vaccinations are being given very early on
yeah.
and numerous times in that first year
yeah.
when the immune system is nowhere near close to, you know, it takes at least 7 years, usually longer, for a child's immune system to fully develop.
Yeah.
So the body's just not ready for that bombardment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So give us some examples of foods that you would consider the worst type of foods that children should not be exposed to.
Okay, I think you'll be shocked to hear the answer to that. Most people say sugar. That's got to be the worst, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in my mind, the worst is chemicals, and the second worst is dairy.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think we all know why chemicals are a problem, mm-hmm. because it's unnatural.
Now, before you move on past chemicals,
mm-hmm.
Define exactly what would, like, say people that, well, what kind of chemicals? I don't give my child chemicals.
Yes, and that's what a lot of people say is, I don't give them chemicals, but it's in our foods.
Mm-hmm.
Sodium nitrate, anything you can't pronounce that's in a product, in a product label, is a chemical. And people don't even realize the number of foods that they're giving their children that have chemicals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is the issue. I remember with my daughter, if she had only one chemical in a food that she was eating, she would not go to the bathroom for 3 days.
Really?
Yeah, it was that severe. And
wow.
there are some children that have multiple chemical syndrome, where they have to stay clear of chemicals entirely, and sometimes for years, because they react so strongly to them.
All right. Okay. So continue.
Dairy.
Yeah, dairy. Yeah.
Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason dairy is a problem is because of what man has done to dairy. And mm-hmm. we all understand why they pasteurized milk, because they wanted to take out the bad bacteria from it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they pasteurized milk, cow's milk we're talking,
mm-hmm.
they depleted the digestive enzymes mm-hmm. that every human needs to digest that cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
So there were 22 digestive enzymes that were taken out in the process of pasteurization.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what, when we don't have the digestive enzymes to digest something, that's what's causing the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that dairy is inflammatory and mucus forming.
Mm-hmm.
So it causes swelling and inflammation in the body,
mm-hmm.
and it causes mucus. So if you see those children or even adults that are constantly having colds, constantly having mucus all over their faces
mm-hmm.
and coughing, think number one, dairy,
mm-hmm.
because it's mucus forming.
Yeah.
But also, whatever we eat the most of is what we end up reacting to
mm-hmm.
if we don't have strong enough digestive systems, which is the case with most of us. And we all eat dairy, and we were all told for years, you know, drink your milk, and breastfeeding mothers, drink your milk. And so whatever we eat the most of is what we become reactive to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you put all those reasons together, and there are more listed in my book, but you put all those reasons together and you say, oh, dairy's really causing a lot of problems out there.
Now, could you mind my just asking one thing about dairy here
mm-hmm.
before you can? Would you put, like, because I always use goat's milk,
mm-hmm.
would that be in the same category, or would there be a difference here in terms of, you know, using alternatives to cow milk or cow dairy products?
There is a difference. Goat's milk is not dairy.
Okay.
However, there are elements of goat's milk that are like dairy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it's got casein, which is the milk protein itself. However, in goat's milk, it is more easily digested than it is in cow's milk. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of people that are really reactive to cow's milk but are fine with goat's milk.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some that still react to goat's milk.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Before we go into a list of what we should be eating, is there anything else that you want to add into the bad list of something that we should be avoiding?
Sure. Wheat is the number two culprit. And you say, oh my gosh, every meal I'm having dairy and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same, you know, for most of the people in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And again, whatever we eat the most of is what we're reacting to. And the problem with wheat is what we're hearing a lot of. It's the gluten in the wheat.
Mm-hmm.
They add the gluten to make it light and fluffy. And the more light and fluffy the bread is or the baked goods are, the more they sell. However, humans cannot digest gluten well.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to understand that is if you have a bowl of pasta, afterwards, doesn't matter if it was whole wheat pasta or white pasta, afterwards you're usually pretty full, tired, and bloated.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because we're not digesting the gluten well. And so you're hearing more and more these days about low gluten or no gluten products in the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
So dairy and wheat are the two biggest culprits. And then after that is sugar and soy and the other ones you've heard of.
Even soy?
Yeah.
What's
because
wrong with
again,
soy?
Again, that's another product used in so many things. It's
mm-hmm.
ingredients in so many things. And the more you eat of something, the more your digestive enzymes for that food become depleted if your digestive system is not strong enough to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's flip it upside down. What should mm-hmm. we be feeding our children with?
So, if you're looking at alternatives to dairy, then we're talking about almond milk, enriched rice milk, hemp milk, some of those alternatives. Instead of butter, you can be using coconut oil, which is the same consistency as butter. It's not an oil consistency. So there are these alternative things that are appearing in superstores in the health aisles, not just in the health food stores. And those are better alternatives and more easily digested than cow's milk or dairy.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is something like sesame seeds is a way better absorbed calcium source than cow's milk is. So nuts and seeds and eggs and healthy grains with low gluten or no gluten, you might have heard of
mm-hmm.
spelt.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great healthy grain, brown rice, quinoa, some of these ones we're hearing more and more, and those are the ones that have been around and have stood the test of time, and those are far more healthy for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess diversity, since if you said whatever we eat the most is going to be most likely be causing difficulty, the more diversified a diet is, the less likely we're going to expose ourselves to some of those triggers.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember our grandparents would say to us, eat lots of variety, stop eating the same thing. And they were right. They knew how to eat back then.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And as much, are you a proponent of a raw food diet?
I'm a great lover of raw foods being in the diet. But in Canada, with all of our cold temperatures, I think it's a lot to ask of our systems to eat entirely raw.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what's your take on vegetarian diet?
There are lazy vegetarians and there are diligent vegetarians. The vegetarians that eat the pizza and the bread and the cheese, they're not going to have the nutrients or the energy they need to get through the day for long periods of time, for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that are adding legumes, which is something a lot of us have, you know, we don't even know what really that is anymore. But legumes are beans and lentils and chickpeas and peas. Those that are adding those to their food and having the low gluten grains, they'll do all right. They'll
mm-hmm.
be just fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have to admit, when I was started reading your book, after first, you know, I don't know, 20 pages, I started getting scared because I thought that there's nothing left to eat anymore
mm-hmm.
Once I finished the book. So I quickly went to the back and looked for chocolate because I just love chocolate. And I was afraid to actually go to that page, whatever, 78 or whatever it is, to see, you know, am I going to be okay? Can I still eat chocolate? And I have to say that I was happy to find out that chocolate is okay as long as it is a certain type of chocolate, right?
That's right. It seems as though there is a healthy version of every single food out there. Mm-hmm. And it's just, well, basically in this chapter 6 of this book, it lists those healthy foods with brand names because so many of them don't taste good. I wanted to list the brand names so that people could say, oh, okay, this is actually a good tasting version. Mm-hmm. So there are healthy alternatives to all foods and to even all drugs. There are natural remedies to all drugs. So we've got a great world full of variety. We just need more people out there spreading the word.
Can you just talk maybe a little bit about what I'm curious about is this whole allergic reaction to nuts that we're having? I mean, it's really quite amazing. I was on an airplane not too long ago, and I just had opened up a bag of nuts, and a woman, she was going to sit beside me, and she found that out, and she asked me to close it up and seal it away, and she had to get a different seat on another part of the plane and was hoping she wouldn't go into some kind of highly reactive mode, and they had to announce over the airplane that nobody can have any nuts and anywhere in the plane. and even now with kids today, it's like so many children are allergic to nuts, and you can't bring peanut butter to school or nuts of any kind. And I mean, I never remember ever encountering this whole nut syndrome when I was a kid going to
and
school.
And you're absolutely right. But when we were kids, we were the first generation to be eating peanut butter like it was going out of style. Mm. We were having peanut butter sandwiches with honey, with jam, with banana.
Yeah.
It was being added in all of our products. And you remember what I said about, you know, the more we eat of something, the more we will react, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we overdid it so that our children ended up having a hard time with it. But it's more than that, obviously, because peanuts have a lethal reaction. It is, and you're not going to believe this, because when I heard it in nutrition school, I said, can we verify this? Because I can't believe this is what's being done. What happens is they plant a crop of vegetables in the soil, and they spray that crop with insecticides and pesticides.
Yeah.
And then they remove the crop, and they want to clean up the soil so that they can plant the next crop.
Okay.
They plant peanuts to absorb all the toxins.
Oh, you're kidding.
Seriously. And I've done seminars to groups of mothers with their children there, and there have been farmers or women from farming parents that have confirmed this.
Really?
Yeah. And they used to know not to sell the peanuts. But someone came along and said, they're never going to notice the difference. We've got to sell these peanuts. This is wasted money.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And these people have confirmed it.
Oh. Well, that must be the reason why. And but what I also wonder is, it could be genetically passed on. I mean, it seems sometimes with some kids, it's like they never really ate peanut butter, but I don't know. I mean, they just then so react to it. I don't know if it's something they inherited or...
You inherit a toxic load. So if your parents were very sick, or they ate a lot of processed foods, or drank a lot of alcohol, or smoked, or had a lot of prescription drugs, that all gets passed into a child.
Okay.
So if a child is reacting to peanuts, but the parents were never interested in peanuts, they're reacting to the toxins or the chemicals in those peanuts. And that's what they inherited from the parent, was that chemical reactivity because of the parents having so many chemicals.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense, you know.
Yeah.
So now when we know what to feed our children with and what to avoid, how do we get them to eat it?
Okay, good question. The number one way to get a child to eat healthy food is for them to like the food. That's number one. They need to like it. Sometimes children hear healthy and they say, oh, I don't want it, because their experience with healthy food in the past has been a negative one.
It's boring, bland, no
taste,
cardboard-like.
So they have to like the food. So I buy these Spelt pretzels by Vita Spelt, and I give them to my daughter's friends when they come over, and they don't even know that it's not a regular pretzel, and they love them.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that that is a healthy pretzel and that the others are not as healthy. So that's number one, is that they have to know that healthy foods can taste great. But secondly, and this is the big clincher, if you tell a child that a certain food is causing a certain reaction in their body, mm-hmm. and they don't want that reaction, mm. that's how they'll stay away from it.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense that they would do that.
So
mm-hmm.
there's a whole story in the book about my daughter being 2 years old, and I won't get into the whole story, but at just the age of two, I was able to teach her which foods were good for her body and which were not, and that kept her on side.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I didn't read your book all the way to the end, and I'm not sure if there is a chapter on drugs that our teenagers now expose themselves to, especially marijuana and other form of drugs. Do you have anything in the book that would help parents deal with this issue or not?
I do not. All I cover in the book is prescription drugs, mm-hmm. simply because I'm working more with younger children and not with teens. There's a small section on communicating with teens, but I don't cover drugs. So that could be covered in my next book.
I guess we have to wait until your daughters are older.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, hopefully you won't have to deal with that. Could we just maybe just touch a little bit more here on prescription drugs? I mean, the impression I have is that, I'm very much anti-drug. I'm 53. I've yet to take an antibiotic, and I've never given them to my son. I've never go to the doctor. It's like
good
I just don't ever do this, and I don't need it. But it seems to me that so many parents right away run to the doctor, get all these drugs already for such young children. It just mm-hmm. blows my mind. And that doctors are just so eager to give pretty powerful, potent medications to their children.
You're right. So what drugs do is they may fix the problem in the short term, but they deplete the body of good bacteria.
Yeah.
And that's why you're seeing the commercials now for probiotics.
Mm.
So they're saying, you know, we all are recognizing we need more good bacteria, which is probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the biggest culprit behind reacting to food, is too much bad bacteria. And one of the biggest culprits of too much bad bacteria is drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all connected. Mm-hmm. It's all connected.
And so would you, in terms of helping people overcome this toxicity in their system, then is that what you would prescribe? Is there taking some form of probiotics?
That would be my number one recommendation for every single individual, whether they be young or old.
Oh, really? And healthy or not, that we all could use more?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, thank you so much. It's impossible to answer all the questions, and your book is 300 pages long, so those are just a taste of what the answers that our listeners can find if they reach for the book. And if they do want to get the book, what's the procedure?
At the moment, the best way to receive the book is to go on to my website, which is www.theresourcefulmother.com.
Okay, great. And this is the title of the book, The Resourceful Mother's Secrets to Healthy Kids, Understand Food, Understand Your Child by Meredith Deasley. And again, the website here to access the book is www.theresourcefulmother.com. Well, thank you so much, Meredith. It was wonderful to have you on air here with us and enlighten us here as to what's really going on out there in the food industry and what's being done to our children.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about it.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.